Blog Talk Radio.
What unknown realities exist beyond the boundaries of our awareness? What is the true potential of human consciousness? Do we have dormant abilities that are natural to us? And if developed, would lead us to experience life in a very different way? Here begins the journey of expanding realities. I'm your host, Laurie Cardi.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Expanding Realities. I'm your host, Laurie Cardi, and we're broadcasting live from the South Jersey UFO Metaphysical Research Group meeting that meets every the fourth Monday of every month at the Cinemenson Public Library. Tonight we have a very important topic on our minds, and that's geoengineering. And to help us better understand what that is and the implications of it, we have Dane Wigington, the lead researcher in this field. His website is geoengineeringwatch.org. Please check it out and become informed. So what in the world are they spraying? Have you ever looked up and wondered what those long white trails are coming from planes? Have you ever noticed those trails don't go away, but instead begin to spread across the sky and look like strange wispy cloud formations? Dane Wigington has an extensive background in solar energy and was a licensed contractor in California and Arizona. His personal residence, which was featured in a cover article in the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power, is a 1,600-acre wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California. Dane focused his efforts and energy on the geoengineering issue when he began to lose very significant amounts of solar uptake due to the increasing solar obscuration, which he discovered was caused by aircraft spraying above. He also noted significant decline in forest health and began soil testing and researching geoengineering about a decade ago. Once again, his website is geoengineeringwatch.org. He has investigated all levels of geoengineering from chemtrails to HAARP. Dane has appeared on an extensive number of interviews to explain the environmental dangers we face on a global level. How you doing, Dane? And thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us this evening.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for helping to sound the alarm on this issue and trying to drive the point home to people that this is an absolute priority issue. It affects every breath we take, the entire web of life. This is the battle we must win, or nothing else will matter.
Okay. We're having a slight technical issue with the speakers, but we're going to continue on here. So what exactly is geoengineering?
Geoengineering is the deliberate manipulation of the Earth's climate systems. It involves a number of processes. One of those is the intentional spraying of toxic heavy metal and chemical particulates into the atmosphere on a scale that can barely be comprehended. In fact, the stated amount by internationally recognized geoengineer David Keith is 20 million tons of aluminum per year to be dumped into our atmosphere. Of course, all of that has to come down and we have to breathe it all. And what's critical about this, Laurie, is that these are nanoparticulates. You can fit tens of thousands of nanoparticulates across the width of a human hair, depending on the width of that particular hair. So these particles are inconceivably small. The smaller they are, the more dangerous they are. So the atmosphere is saturated with these particulates. These particulates are manipulated with radio frequency transmissions from, again, incredibly powerful ground-based facilities like HAARP. Many people have heard of HAARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. But these facilities are all over the globe. It's not just the very large ground-based facilities, but you have an unknown number of smaller facilities that are located everywhere around the planet. You have SBX radar, which are mobile sea-based radar facilities. So it's really an all-out weather whack-a-mole free-for-all right now that involves strategic interests, the attempt by governments to control their own populations, as well as controlling populations in other countries. In the case of the U.S., most deadly weapon of the power structure, and people must wake up to this issue, or soon we'll have nothing left to salvage.
So what is the difference between chemtrails and contrails?
First of all, the term chemtrails is not helpful to our cause because it is not a science term. Some people have tried to claim that it is, that it has some scientific basis because Dennis Kucinich used it on some draft legislation. The term has no scientific basis and has been intentionally marginalized by the power structure so that if you use that term, if people search online, the first thing they come to is conspiracy theory, hoax, so forth. If we stick to the science terms, solar radiation management, geoengineering, climate engineering, that leads to science. So it's important to use the science terms. As far as contrails go, the greatest lie ever perpetrated on humanity is the contrail lie. Even the shorter trails we see, with very, very few exceptions, are not condensation. They are particulate dispersions. We know this because we have film footage of even the shorter trails being turned on and off, nozzles visible. We have up-close photographs of the nozzles, even on commercial aircraft. These are retrofit installations on the pylon directly behind the engine exhaust. And we know that all commercial aircraft and all military tankers have high bypass turbofan jet engines. It's a jet-powered fan. The ratio of air, non-combusted air to combusted air, is far too high to produce a, quote, condensation trail. 85% of the air that passes through that engine is non-combusted. It's no different than a propeller-driven aircraft in most senses. So, again, the whole condensation trail myth is a total lie. We have the film footage to back it up, and even the shorter, bright trails, with very few exceptions, unless you're somewhere in the Arctic under just the right conditions behind a high bypass, a very, very short-lived trail might be possible, but, again, very rare circumstances. So people have been fed a massive lie. We have the film footage to back it up. We have the science to back it up. And I should have in about a week a new tutorial update on the high bypass turbofan with photographs, again, of these nozzles mounted on the pylon. These are retrofit installations. Even on commercial aircraft, we have a photo taken from some distance back, and you can see the commercial air carrier that these particular nozzles are on. The commercial carriers, of course, carry a much smaller payload than the military tankers, both of which are involved in these programs. So the scope and scale of what is going on in our skies is nearly inconceivable. And, in fact, it's hard for people to get their arms around this. That's why so many people simply don't even try. But we need them to quickly because, quite simply, if we don't solve climate engineering, if we don't stop climate engineering and the decimation it's causing, we're not going to have enough of Earth's life support systems left to salvage very soon.
All right. Now, you mentioned solar obscuration. Can you tell me exactly what that is and how much sun is actually being blocked?
There's a term called global dimming. People can search that term online. It refers to how much of the sun's direct rays are being blocked by particulates in the atmosphere. And global dimming, to create global dimming, is the express goal of solar radiation management, to fill the atmosphere with light-scattering particulates in order to deflect some of the sun's incoming thermal energy. So now we have global dimming, depending on the study, between the range of 20 and 25%. So let's try to comprehend that. Between 20 and 25% of the sun's direct rays no longer reach the surface of the planet as compared to five-plus decades ago. So it takes, again, an inconceivable amount of material to block that much sun. But what happens when you're blocking that much sun? You're also trapping radiant heat. You're decimating the ozone layer. We know that we have incredibly horrific ozone decimation, northern and southern hemispheres. We're seeing UV levels that are inconceivably high. We're seeing UVB 1,000% higher than we're being told, 10 times higher than we're being told. It's burning the bark off of trees. It's killing plankton. It's killing insects, terrestrial and aquatic. The bottom line is, you know, no ozone layer, no life on Earth. From every direction, climate engineering is tearing the planet's life support systems apart. It's the greatest folly ever undertaken by the human race. But for those who think it's not going on, again, I pose this list of points. One, we have film footage of the crime happening. We have up-close footage of military tankers spraying at altitude. KC-46s, KC-135s, C-17 Globemasters, KC-10s. We have film of the crime happening. We have photographs of the nozzles. We have on-off spraying filmed up close. We have the same material listed in climate engineering patents showing up on the ground in absolutely lethal quantities. So there's no question about the fact that this is going on. And also consider this. We have the top U.S. military leaders stating over and over again on the record, climate change is the greatest national security threat of all. Obama just stated that again. Now, climate engineering is worsening the climate situation. There is no question about that. We have 65 years of data to prove that. They can create short-term cooling, very toxic cooling, at the cost of a worsened overall warming. But the military-industrial complex does not know how to change directions. Once they're committed to something, whether it's detonating nuclear bombs, invading other countries, they just keep going. Same is true with climate engineering. So for those who think that the government would ask our permission before they could engage in these programs, you're living in an alternate reality. That's simply not the truth.
So we're like part of this huge experiment that we have not, you know, of our free will decided to be part of. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Those in power have decided for us that we will be subjected to an experiment with incredibly lethal results, irreparable results. I want to stress that to people. Many people think that, some people still think there's nothing wrong with the biosphere or that it's not damaged. I mean, this couldn't be further from the truth. In the case of climate engineering, the damage done cannot be undone in any time frame that matters. And it's not just climate engineering. I stress this as well. This is a very simple concept. Any form of human activity that alters the biosphere is a form of geoengineering. So that involves cutting down forests. It involves putting 100 million tons of CO2 in the air every day. So all of these are forms of geoengineering. But the intentional manipulation of the climate system over 65 years appears mathematically to have done more damage than all the other sources combined as far as the overall structure and function of the biosphere. So again, climate engineering, mathematically, is the greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm, and we had no choice in the matter, none whatsoever. And if we don't wake the military up to the fact that they are killing their own sons and daughters along with ours, they're killing themselves along with the rest of us, if we don't wake them up, we're not going to be able to stop this. So it's imperative that everybody play a part in raising awareness to critical mass. It's imperative we reach critical mass as soon as possible. We have legal wheels turning right now, by the way. I'm not sure you know that. We have a lot of bases being covered, but we need to gain ground fast. We don't have a lot of time.
All right. Well, you know, you said that mathematically speaking, over the past 65 years, things have deteriorated a lot. So how many more years do you think we have before... I don't know. I don't even know what the repercussions are. What are they?
The repercussions are this. All life on Earth ends. And this is not speculation. It's not theory. It's not conjecture. On this trajectory that we are on right now, and I've stated this for well over a decade, and finally, as of about 2 or 3 weeks ago, mainstream media had to cover this because they can't hide it anymore. I challenge any one of your listeners to search sixth great mass extinction. I have said it for over a decade. A few other researchers have as well. But on this trajectory, losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect a day. That's, by the way, for those who say, well, things have always gone extinct, that particular rate is from 10 to 15,000 times background. So on this trajectory, mathematically, this is where it graphs out, and that's if things don't accelerate even further, which they are likely to accelerate further. Right now, mathematically speaking, from the best frontline scientists who are not tarnishing their data, we're looking at a planet that will not support life at all, past 2040, northern hemisphere likely much sooner than that. That's the trajectory we're on. It's called Venus Syndrome, and I challenge your listeners to look up that term, because that's not a metaphor, it's a scientific scenario. This is a non-linear equation, completely non-linear, and people have been conditioned and programmed to think that such geologic changes take millennia. this is not the case when we're talking about an unnatural situation, and this is how unnatural it is. An example I've often used because it's very vivid, if what's happening to the planet right now is about as natural as shooting someone in the back of the head, that's not natural. You can't shoot someone in the back of the head and say they died of natural causes. It's not natural. So again, we must change course. We must change course immediately, or we will have nothing left to salvage.
All right, so how do these particulates actually affect our health? I just want to kind of come back to the present moment here.
There are countless ways that these extremely microscopic particles are detrimental to the human organism. One, they're extremely inflammatory, and inflammation causes a list of degenerative symptoms that is incredibly long. We know in the case of aluminum, for example, and we know a huge percentage of what is falling on us is aluminum. In fact, let me put that into perspective before I press on with what aluminum can do. Rain tests in Northern California, we've seen an escalation of aluminum in the rain, which means it's in the air column, which means it's in every breath we take, from a baseline test of 7 parts per million, which was already high, 7 parts per billion, I'm sorry. We've seen an escalation of as much as 50,000% in aluminum in a single rain event, highly toxic rain. We've seen snow off the side of Mount Shasta, thought to be a pristine drinking source, of 61,000 parts per billion, highly toxic snow. So we're talking about a mountain of metal. In the case of aluminum, not much it doesn't cause. From ALS, ADD, Alzheimer's, dementia, type 2 diabetes, obesity, the list goes on and on and on. Barium, we know barium is a huge component in the spray dispersions, immune suppressant, a host of other degenerative issues it causes with the human body. You start to mix these metals together, along with mercury, which we all have in us as well, from multiple sources. You come up with a mix that is incredibly lethal because you have synergistic toxicity between these metals. So these metals, again, are so small, these particles are so small, you cannot filter them out with any type of normal filter mechanism. A filter mask, anything that you can buy over the counter, will not slow down these particles, let alone stop them. So they enter through your lung lining, absorb straight through your lung lining, and go into your bloodstream where they adhere to your cell receptors like a plaque. And the fluoride we have in us, all of us, and also mercury, helps these metals cross the blood-brain barrier. So I'm not sure if you've seen, Lori, recently we finally have corroboration on what's killing the bees, the primary factor, which we have stated all along, which I have stated all along to some of the head beekeepers in the country, although they would not listen, that there is a much bigger issue than the farm chemicals. Farm chemicals are bad, but obviously a much bigger issue if the bees are dying 1,000 miles into the wilderness. So to put this in mathematical context, 3 parts per million of aluminum can cause dementia and Alzheimer's in the human body. The bee larva had as much as 200 parts per million in them, nearly 70 times what can cause these symptoms in the human body. Of course the bees are dying. Of course they are. These metals are virtually saturating the entire web of life. There is nowhere to hide.
All right. And what question I have to that, because that certainly is a lot of information, but you know, when you mentioned mercury and how these metals actually are reactive when they get together, I mean, I have mercury in the fillings in my teeth. Also, I heard you mention on a previous interview that with all the aluminum that we're actually absorbing through our skin, breathing in, I don't even know how many different ways, but you said that we're kind of like walking antennas. So we're more susceptible to certain frequencies. I don't know if you've ever heard of this term frequency targeting, but if you have, I would like you to talk about that. And what do you think they actually are trying to discover through this experiment, this crazy experiment?
Those are all good questions. Let me start from the beginning of the fact that we're all more electrically conductive. These particles are conductive. So now the atmosphere is much more conductive, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You have multiple military applications for over-the-horizon radar, DARPA weapons. There's a lot of reasons that the military wants the atmosphere to be more conductive. none of them for the common good, only for the exercising of power and control. So our bodies are absorbing these conductive materials. We are an electrical organism, so that makes us much more susceptible to radio frequencies from countless sources, absolutely countless sources. We know from peer-reviewed study that exposure to radio frequency can kill and is killing trees. If it can kill trees, it can absolutely kill us. It is killing us. In fact, the amount of human mortality that has already occurred in regard to climate engineering could never be calculated. We know respiratory mortality has gone from 8th on the list of mortality to 3rd between 25 and 2010. Now, that's an astounding increase in spite of the fact that we're being told, it's a complete lie, that our air is cleaner. When they state this, they're talking about particles of PM10 or PM2.5. That means 10 microns or 2.5 microns. That's all they test for. That size particle is exponentially larger than what's being sprayed. So this mountain of metal being sprayed goes completely under the radar. It's not detected. It's not looked for. You can't find what you're not looking for. So the elephant in the room is massively large. So bottom line is on the why, again, there are many, many layers to that onion. Now, ultimately, it's about power and control. People should remember that. As far as who's behind this, I'll answer that now too. All roads lead back to the central bankers. All roads lead there. Those who print the money pull the strings. Very simple. When they can print anything, everything they want, and use it for anything or everything they want, that's where the control lies. So that's who's at the heart of this. It's the U.S. military isn't run by our government. Our government is, in fact, we don't have, to put this in better context, we're not a country with a government. We have a government that owns a country. Governments are simply criminal cabals. So as to the why, going back 65 years, it comes back to power and control. But as they've exercised this power and control over that long of a period, they've done cataclysmic damage to the climate. Part of what they're doing now is to try to hide the extent of that damage from the population as long as possible, while at the same time increasing that damage. And that's how the military-industrial complex thinks. Just like an example I always use, Lori, is the Macondo oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, where they used Corexit, which is a chemical banned throughout the globe. But they used it in the Gulf of Mexico, even though it made the situation 52 times more toxic, because it helped to hide the oil. It helped to sink it to the seafloor where it now sits. There's a sea of oil there. The well is still leaking, and that's why we see no hurricanes in the Gulf, because the geoengineers suppress those hurricanes in order to keep that sea of oil from being stirred up. So we're looking at the military-industrial complex. If you've done something bad and horrific for the environment, you just have to do more things to hide that, even though those extra efforts make it worse. So climate engineering has altered upper-level wind currents. That's altered ocean currents. We have warm water pumping into the Arctic now. We have a shredded ozone layer, especially over the Arctic. So we have more thermal energy penetrating. And now we have methane releasing from the seabed. And again, the methane release is the single greatest threat to the planet right now, short of total nuclear cataclysm. But the methane is releasing now. Climate engineering has helped to cause that to happen. It's not mitigation. And between that and the shredded ozone layer, the disrupted hydrological cycle, right now the climate engineers are simply trying to, again, hide the extent of damage already done because they've used this weather warfare weapon. They're making it much, much worse at the same time. So people who live in the eastern U.S. who think the planet is cooling, which is incredibly incorrect, but it's dividing the population. They can't unite. People hate Al Gore so much that they can't think past Al Gore and his sham carbon credits. And again, Al Gore is a sham. Carbon credits are a sham. But that doesn't mean the planet's not warming. I'm in Northern California. It is hotter than hell here, literally. We're heading for 120 degrees this week. We're 30 degrees above normal. We've been hovering 10 to 15 above normal. Now we're going to 30 degrees above normal. Everything is dying here. Everything. It's 80 degrees at night.
Understand. You know, the people that are making these decisions, they're breathing the same air. They're drinking, probably not the same water, but, I mean, they're definitely breathing the same air in the environment. I mean, what about their health and the health of their own families? I mean, what do they do about their absorbing all these chemicals into their bloodstream?
It's a key and primary question. And again, I ask your listeners to consider this, that how many examples have I already even given of the power structure showing virtually no regard for what they're doing to the planet on which they and their posterity depend, from the Corexit I just named, the chemical in the Gulf of Mexico, to, let's take this further, let's take this to the nuclear detonations, 2,000-plus nuclear detonations, even in the continental U.S., with no disclosure to the population when they were doing it, and we had the downwinders who had got cancer and died. Now let's take it even further. This is a very prime example. Let's look at nuclear power. We have one plant right now, Fukushima, that if it's not dealt with and we have no technology to deal with it, will kill us all eventually. It will kill us all. And yet there's 30 more nuclear power plants on the drawing board right now. Obama just approved recently $6.5 billion to build two more plants in Georgia. We are not dealing with sanity. And people who excuse climate engineering away as by saying they wouldn't do this to themselves, it's a blatant, glaring lie. Let's look at depleted uranium ammunition, our own ammunition, which is killing our own troops, which is contaminating parts of the globe forever. In fact, I've spoken to the Navy's top PR person on the phone, and who very cavalierly told me, yes, we're going to be using depleted uranium ammunition off the California coast for practice. Depleted uranium ammunition has a radioactive half-life of 4.5 billion years, with a B. Now, that's as old as the planet is. That's the half-life. These people don't care. We are not dealing with sanity. They're like a drug addict, Lori, who can't get enough, even if it's killing them in power. We're talking about people who are...
Interrupt. What does that mean, half-life, before you move on?
That's actually it's a slower dispersion of radiation, and it means that it takes 4.5 billion years before it's half as radioactive as it was. So although the immediate danger compared to some isotopes that release radiation much quicker, this radiation releases slower but lasts a lot longer. And again, places like the Middle East, Iraq, the Gulf War Syndrome, if you remember Gulf War Syndrome, where our troops came home, about 200,000 of them with Gulf War Syndrome, directly related to their exposure to depleted uranium ammunition. Some genius at the Pentagon figured out that depleted uranium, it's the heaviest metal on the planet, cuts right through tanks, makes a great shell, a great ammunition component, but it's toxic forever. But they don't care. They don't care about our troops, just like Agent Orange. Did they care? Did they care that they spread Agent Orange on our own soldiers? They don't care. And again, I can't stress this enough. We're not dealing with sanity. That's a statistical fact. 4% of the population is clinically psychopathic, and that 4% is largely in positions of power.
So is it true that I heard that it's the ability of men to reproduce has actually declined? So our reproductive systems are actually failing as well? Is that true?
Statistically, it's a fact. It's an absolute fact. There's a number of reasons for that, but is that also a desired component of what's going on in our skies? I would argue that that's very possible. We certainly have seen enough in the power structure discussing the need for population reduction like David Rockefeller. So, yes, we've seen fertility rates decline. We know that there's a host of endocrine disruptors in our environment. The list of chemicals we're exposed to is endless. So, is this a statistical fact? Yes, it's absolutely a statistical fact.
So geoengineering now, you mentioned before that there's other aspects of geoengineering besides spraying. And is the spraying what controls the weather? I mean, what other forms are there that are negatively affecting us?
Well, again, it's the aerosolization of the atmosphere, the spraying of the atmosphere in conjunction with the ground-based radio frequency transmitters, which can help to move those particulates around. If you have particulates that are electrically conductive and of a specific polarization, they can be manipulated with radio frequency transmissions. So when you aerosolize, you change convection because you're putting a cap, if you will, on convection. And if they're exposed to radio frequencies, they can be moved and manipulated. So between those two primary processes, the atmosphere is absolutely being manipulated. For example, over the West Coast, where the, quote, ridiculously resilient ridge is stationed, and the meteorological community can't figure out how this is happening. We know from available data that they can create high pressure zones, descending air, with the ionosphere heater. So they can create these heat domes, which in the case of the West Coast, a high pressure zone spins clockwise. And that's part of how they manipulate the jet stream. They can create these high pressure zones. It fries everything below that zone. It's exactly what's happening here in California. And we are, by the way, seeing specific applications of climate engineering that appear to create a lens effect or a heating effect that increases UV. And this shows up on our meters. I have expensive UV meters, and this shows up. We actually see days where the spraying doesn't decrease the solar radiation. It increases it. It increases UV. And that is likely a result of a specific desired effect by the climate engineers to create high pressure. Now, again, California, I believe, should be seen as, one, a climate sacrifice zone, in that because of things they're trying to do downstream, they cause a certain effect here. But, two, I believe California is also a target because we see a very, very consistent effort to diminish and disperse any rain that comes over Northern California. It is absolutely relentless. And they can diminish rain by aerosolization. This is science fact. This is not speculation. When you over-aerosolize moisture, too many condensation nuclei, too many small particles, the water can't combine and fall as rain. It simply migrates further. They are relentless in their effort to stop the rain over California. And also, what's happening in the Arctic right now? Arctic ice, I don't care what people have read or what headlines you saw on Fox News or some other source. Arctic ice was at all-time record low maximum this year. Record early start to the melt. And what they do in California, this superheating of California, is directly connected to the ice extent in the Arctic. The whole system is connected. So when we see the Arctic ice start to really plunge, and by the way, one day a week ago, Arctic ice lost 320,000 square kilometers of surface area in one day. One day. And when we see that kind of precipitous fall happen, the heat in California, all the forecasts change. Now we're going up to 120 degrees. Part of them creating this high-pressure dome here is part of how they trap some of the cold air further north in order to try to preserve what's left of the Arctic ice. So what I'm saying is I encourage your listeners not to believe me. Please don't believe me. Please search online, Arctic ice record low, not Antarctic, Arctic. And all these things are connected. What the geoengineers are doing, all connected. So you have weather warfare. You have an attempt to hide what's happening in the Arctic, to hide the damage done, a lot of it from climate engineering to begin with. All of these are connected.
And basically it's just for depopulation control and whatever from, oh, my God. I mean,
be careful not to do a this or that conclusion on this. Again, this is a great many things. It's weather warfare. It's manipulation of the population. Is it eugenics? It certainly would be hard to argue that at this point. I mean, they know how harmful this is. They're doing it anyway. If people are sick and cognitively dysfunctional, and we're all becoming cognitively dysfunctional, we are all firing on less and less neurons every day. That makes us less and less able to stand up and fight back, if you will, to try to raise awareness. We also have damage control going on. With the manipulation they've done, they've released Pandora from the box. We have Arctic's methane spewing into the atmosphere right now. Methane is covering the planet right now like a layer of gas. We're seeing methane counts. And by the way, for your listeners, methane over a 10-year time horizon is 100 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. Methane is the most immediate threat. Media never talks about that. So let's consider 100 times more potent. We're seeing methane counts right now that are approaching 3,000 parts per billion. Over the last million years, it's never been over 700 parts per billion. It's going through the roof, absolutely through the roof. We're seeing methane. If people look at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column, you'll see film footage of methane shooting out of the ground in Canada right now, like a geyser. It's from warming. It's just formerly frozen methane deposits that are thawed now because the planet is warming, absolutely warming rapidly. And now you can't have releasing methane from a colder planet. You can't. Methane has to heat to thaw. Anything has to heat to thaw. And methane is spewing into the atmosphere right now, and climate engineering is making it worse, not better. But they're trying to hide the symptoms by Laura, you remember all the headlines about the snow in Boston?
Right.
Okay, over and over and over and over. How many headlines did you see that?
Here. It was the same exact right here, not this past winter, but the one before. Just got done snow blowing our driveways, and we were bombarded with another snowstorm. I mean, it was 2 and 3 a week. I mean, a ton of snow was falling.
And you saw a lot of headlines about that, right?
The
media covered that all the time. Did they cover the fact, for example, this year that, by the way, as of the spring of this year, the Sierra snowpack in most locations was 0% of normal? Zero. Didn't see any coverage on that because we're way past the point of media trying to convince us of warming because they want to sell carbon credits. We're way past that point. The power structure is in a panic right now. They know that they've put a hole in the side of the ship. The ship's sinking and they're on it. They know it. And now they're simply trying to hide the gravity of the damage done. They're trying to hide the gravity of what's unfolding while they dig into underground bunkers and stock them up. And that's exactly what they're doing. We spoke to one of the executives from Mountain House Freeze-Dried Foods several years ago who told us they were offline retail because they were stocking up military bunkers. Do you know what the Doomsday Seed Vault is, Lori?
The what?
Ever heard of that? You ever heard of the Doomsday Seed Vault?
No.
I would encourage your listeners to search online Doomsday Seed Vault. This is an indisputed location of a seed bank in the Arctic. Bill Gates was actually a part of this. I think some 250 million seeds. It's a huge underground facility in a mountain in the Arctic to store the Earth's seeds. It's called the Doomsday Seed Vault. This is real. There's photographs. There's no dispute. Mainstream media covered it as well, somewhere in the back pages. I challenge your listeners to Google this and look at what I'm talking about. The power structure is making that kind of preparations right now because it's not a question of civilization imploding. It's not a question of the reality we've known overturning. It's a question of when. And mathematically right now, it's extremely close. And I want to, whenever you want to get to it, I want to stress this. We can, if we work together, we can take a quantum leap in the right direction. Our situation right now is beyond cataclysmic. But if everybody got up off the bench and helped us sound the alarm, we have a legal team of 6 U.S. attorneys, 2 Canadian attorneys. We have a lot of other people that are also extremely important in this battle that are working behind the scenes. I communicate with them directly, CEOs of some of the world's largest environmental consulting firms. They know personally, but they are maneuvering carefully because they feel their lives are at risk, and indeed I believe they are. But if we all pull together...
I do want to get that information out. I just had another question. I apologize for continuing.
Sure, no, go ahead. No problem.
But I'm glad you brought the whole seed thing up because obviously by what you're saying, there's no such thing as organic food. And, and I think that it's very interesting how Monsanto has created this, you know, GMO seed that's resistant to aluminum, it's resistant to other things, and, I mean... since aluminum is not even found in nature alone, it's always bound to something else, isn't it? Isn't that how it works? But is it a way of actually owning the world's food supply? Is that what they're doing? Because if you look on their website, they are going after patents for just about everything you could possibly grow. And they're putting farmers out of business by stealing their crops. I mean, when the bees come and they cross-pollinate from one field to another, like in that movie, Food, Inc., I think that was the movie. Yeah, we saw that. And, and Monsanto sued the farmer because they said that he was growing their product, but really, in fact, what had happened was the bees cross-pollinated from a farm that was growing that product to his, and it started growing on his land, and they confiscated his whole crop.
Very familiar with that story. It's a Canadian farmer, and Monsanto is indeed a part of this equation. Monsanto is a disaster capitalist, of which there are many, those who will always try to profit from cataclysm. But is Monsanto really a core part of this? No. Monsanto is simply one of the crew of the pirate ship, if you will, that's trying to fill their pockets with loot as the ship sinks. It's not going to matter much longer. Those at the very top are much more keenly aware of what's happening. Organizations like Monsanto, and I'm not saying there's not some in Monsanto that aren't aware of what's going on, but this disaster capitalism and those who think that, well, they're just going to sterilize the soil, take over the lands, and be able to control the food supply, not on this course. We're, again, on a course for a planet that will not sustain life much longer. I can't stress that fact enough. And this is, again, if we see the marine die-off happening right now in the eastern Pacific, which a lot of people blame exclusively on Fukushima, this is a mistake. Fukushima is a problem, a big problem. But Fukushima does not kill mass amounts of fish in extremely short fashion, as we've seen. These fish die-offs that are happening there, the only way that happens is the creation of an anoxic or a hypoxic zone where the oxygen is sucked out of the water. This is coming back again to the warming. The ocean off the U.S. North American West Coast is astoundingly warm. It's off the scale. It's stratifying. It's not mixing. So much of this is connected directly to climate engineering. Not as an only cause. The human race has decimated the planet, but so much is connected to climate engineering, the increased UV, the altered wind currents, that alters ocean currents, it causes the ocean to stratify. There are so many factors, and people have to stop thinking dichotomously. So leading this back around to Monsanto and companies like Monsanto, they're capitalizing off of what's unfolding. But what's unfolding is much bigger than even that equation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it certainly sounds that way.
It's bigger. So again, what we have to do, we must reach critical mass. And what's different about climate engineering than any other issue is that if we could simply reach critical mass to our brothers and sisters in the military who are being lied to, who are being told they're engaged in some planetary-saving endeavor by spraying the skies, we must reach a level of awareness where their families know what they're involved with and what price we will all pay if they continue. And the power structure is putting their chess pieces in place, if you will. Jade Helm, the military exercises. Lori, you're aware that that's coming up, I'm sure. You've seen
yeah.
the Jade Helm military exercises. So I would argue that they are maneuvering as fast as they can. The climate is virtually imploding. They're fueling that implosion with climate engineering, making a bad situation worse. At the moment in time, the gravity of what's unfolding cannot be hidden. Panic will ensue. We have 60 million refugees globally right now. 60 million. It's increasing exponentially by the day. You can't hide the kind of unraveling that's occurring globally, and all of it boils down to resources. It's not about democracy. It's not about freedom. It's not about any of the nonsense that our media feeds us. It's about resources, and now there is not enough to go around. And that's a statistical fact. And those who say otherwise have simply not done their research. Those who say, well, we could all fit into the country of New Zealand. So what? What does that mean? Have those people who say that studied the amount of land, depending on the geography, necessary to sustain one person without industrialized technology? It takes a tremendous amount of land. That's why when you have the native populations, they had to have a fairly large range in order to sustain themselves, and we cannot fuel the industrialized paradigm much longer. So people talk about things they haven't researched, they don't know about. For example, in the year 1900, it took one barrel of oil worth of energy to get 100 out of the ground. Now it takes one for six. That's a very, very sharp energy recovery decline. Does that make sense? If you follow me, it takes it takes much more energy to find and utilize energy now. About 20 times more energy than it used to, because the oil is much harder to find, it's much harder to recover, it has to be transported much farther. Do you follow me on that?
Yeah, I mean, can't we just take it back off the bottom of the ocean where they have it sitting?
Unfortunately, no. It's just like the methane. You know, people ask, why can't they just recover the methane? When you have methane spewing over hundreds or thousands of square miles of ocean floor. There's no technology that can even begin to deal with that, not even close. So we've been led to believe that technology will save us. This is an absolute lie, and I ask people who think that, stand back and ask yourself, how much has technology helped us so far? When we look at the TV commercial and one commercial advertises a new pharmaceutical with, you know, one possible benefit and 50 definite negatives, and the next commercial is an attorney saying, hey, if you took this, call us because if you're still alive because we can sue. We're dealing with an academic community that is, I'm sorry to say this, and I know a lot of people in academia, certainly with my contacts, but it's largely comprised of people that are completely conditioned and programmed by the system, and unfortunately, there's a lot of cowardice in academia. And I will take full responsibility for stating that. We have a society, an academic society, a journalistic society that is filled with cowards. And that's why we're in the situation we're in. And we need the population to find their courage, to stand up, and to hold the rest accountable. I've been in the field with USDA soil scientists who I know well, and they will, off the record, in the field, sheepishly, in one case I'm repeating exactly what they said to me, sheepishly look at you and say, what do you want us to do about it? They know this is going on. They know the climate's being engineered with horrifically toxic materials. But they want to go to work at 8, come home at 5, and not penetrate their bubble of denial. And quite simply, they're going to sink on the same ship that the rest of us are going to sink on. So it's up to us. It's up to us, the population. Nobody's going to do it for us. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We must act
but
now.
I don't understand why these people aren't angry, because they have family. They have as much to lose as everybody else does. Do they not care about seeing their loved ones die of cancer and get Alzheimer's early and thrive in ADHD and just everything?
We're dealing with one of the most powerful... Well, they should be angry, and some are becoming angry, but we're dealing also with the psychological wiring of the human being. And denial is one of the most, certainly the most powerful human defense mechanism. And it's difficult to break that denial. I mean, we're headed to a point where, you know, people's heads have to be on fire before they'll come out of the woodwork, but they're starting to. And the point we're making now with, for example, I just sent out a letter to a number of mainstream meteorologists who have openly and on the record completely denied the climate engineering reality. And now we're able to state to them, and this is framed very carefully, that the public will soon wake up to this issue. And once they are awoken to this issue and they realize they've been a part of this grand and lethal experiment, the public is going to be furious with all those, like these meteorologists, who have become a part of the crime by helping to hide the crime. They're now accessories to the crime. And we point out to them, they should keep that in mind, that at some point the public is going to hold them legally and morally responsible for what they have done. And we're close to that point. And the power structure will try to hide this to the last moment. And I had a dialogue with one of the architects of these programs. Your listeners can, if they search dialogue with a geoengineering insider, I recorded the conversations, and it is very evident. This person states in the conversation, the government will try to hide climate engineering to the last possible moment because, and now I'm quoting him directly, because if the public finds out, they will seek out those responsible and hang them or shoot them in front of a firing squad. These people involved with these programs know that if this reaches critical mass, the paradigm will overturn immediately. Nobody on this planet hasn't
really
been harmed.
I'm sorry. It really just seems like these people believe that they're above the law. And the other thing is I have a couple people here. We're winding down. We have about 10, 15 minutes left. Actually, what's it say? Well, so is it okay if I go to the audience and have them ask some questions?
Absolutely. And,
okay,
and on, the,
awesome.
on your question about these people thinking they're above the law, that is absolutely, absolutely the case. They do not believe these laws apply to them. They believe it's their right to decide for the population what will or won't happen, what we are or aren't we exposed to, and how many examples of that do we need to know that? From them going down and taking over South Sea Islands that they did not own, taking them over and blowing them up, moving the population and blowing them up, or dropping nuclear weapons on innocent populations in Japan, completely innocent populations. These people are absolutely psychotic. I mean, there's no other word for it.
All right, well, here is our first person. Her name is Cynthia, so I'm giving you to her. Here you go. Just lean forward and speak in.
Hi, Dane. I'm Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
My question was, these people are so horrendously arrogant. It seems to the point of, you know, the emperor's new clothes. Possible that they are, I don't know, stockpiling and preparing so that nothing will happen to them or their loved ones while they destroy the rest of the populace?
Okay, on that question, again, as I stated earlier, if you search, I covered this in much more detail, if you search Geoengineering and the Last Chance for Life on Earth, this is a presentation on the homepage of Geoengineering Watch. You'll find it in the center column, but I covered that in this presentation. Yes, they are absolutely digging into what's called a dumb, a deep underground military bunker. We have photographs of the tunnel boring machines, military tunnel boring machines, some of them 50 feet high. There is a massive underground network that's being stocked up. Do they think they're going to go underground and ride this out? Some believe that. Some know better, because the trajectory we are on right now is for a planet that will not support life on Earth any longer. If your listeners Google Venus syndrome again, you'll see the degree to which the planet is headed toward change. Venus is not 900 degrees on the ground because it's so much closer to the sun. All things being equal, Venus would be 20 degrees warmer than Earth. 20. We're already from Earth's equilibrium before the Industrial Revolution. We're already statistically, not officially, but statistically, with non-tainted data, we're 5 to 6 degrees toward that 20-degree mark that Venus would be above Earth based on its proximity to the sun. But Venus is 900 degrees in the ground because it underwent a runaway greenhouse effect, and that is the scenario we are on. So even with previous methane mass expulsions, like the Petum event, from 55 million years ago, the Paleocene-Eocene thermal maximum was a methane mass expulsion. The current event looks to be much worse. But even that event had a 10 to 20 million year equilibrium period. You can't live in a hole that long. And again, this event now looks much worse. So we're talking about a headless, heartless, soulless cancer that's the military-industrial complex that is completely and totally out of control. And it will kill us all if it's allowed to continue. It's that simple.
Is this changing the pH of the planet at all?
Yes. In fact, boreal forests, and it depends on the former condition of the soils. If you have naturally acidic soils, the effect is much more profound. So in the case of the Pacific Northwest, aluminum oxide that's falling here in such massive quantities that in the last decade, and I have the original USDA baseline soil studies, I have the original manual, I have the original maps, I have a lot of material that was, it's very hard to get. I have connections, that's how I got them. Soil pHs have changed here in 10 years, 10 to 12 times toward alkaline. These are astounding changes. It's killing everything, along with the bioavailable metals, the intense UV, the lack of precipitation, the lack of humidity in the air, because now these particles are desiccants. They absorb all available moisture. We don't have dew anymore, ever. Our humidities are much lower. Some areas, I realize you have deluge. When you disrupt the hydrological cycle, you get drought and deluge. But overall, atmospheric humidity has declined in the last 60 years. That is virtually impossible without a component like geoengineering that is disrupting the hydrological cycle. So we have completely derailed Earth's natural life support systems. If Earth is not allowed to respond, we have no chance.
All right. I'm passing you to Steve. This is Steve.
Thank you.
Bye, Dave.
Thank you.
Just wanted to see if this was tied in with the HARP project and what they're doing with that. I
understand
they create earthquakes where they want just by focusing the waves.
Okay, now you're correct. That's another issue completely where these same components are involved with the decimation of the planet. First, as I mentioned earlier, the ionosphere heaters are inseparable from the atmospheric spraying. The two go together completely. The ionosphere heaters are used to manipulate the particulates, to manipulate pressure zones, to manipulate the jet stream, so they are absolutely a core component of the climate engineering. As far as these facilities being able to create seismic activity, all available information, as astounding as this may be to some people who have not researched, indicate the answer is yes, they can create that activity. In fact, I would encourage any listener who's skeptical or anybody at all, period, search online MIT. Most people know who MIT is. MIT detects atmospheric heating above Japanese quake epicenter. MIT and other institutions noted, these are very reputable institutions, they noted incredibly anomalous atmospheric heating for days directly above the epicenter of the quake. And, of course, MIT can't explain it because they can't admit to the real issue. They can't. I mean, the power structure would crush them. But they did acknowledge publicly, openly, that they noted this atmospheric heating directly above the epicenter of that quake. So we know from available data that when you transmit billions of watts of power, billions, into a seismically sensitive zone, it causes vibrations. It causes heating. And if it's the right zone, it can cause seismic activity. So this is how lethal these weapons of nature are, weaponizing nature. And there's science fact to back up everything I am saying, statistical study from places like MIT. I am not shooting from the hip.
All right, Jane, we have another Cynthia here, so I'm passing you to her.
Mr. Rigginton, I would like to mention that on your website is the wonderful presentation where you presented to your local county board, and it's an extremely informative 45 minutes or so, and I would encourage everyone to go on your website and do a search for it, the presentation. And so I, by way of asking you to expound on a few of the things you've already mentioned, such as it seems like what you're saying to us is the only recourse is to get some of our military people on board, because what was, if there was any response to your county board, who was actually going to be writing letters and contacting the people that they needed to contact to get some kind of response. And then the second follow-up is, as there are these underground bunkers, are you also of the belief that, according to some people, like there was just a recent secret space program conference out in your area with people like Catherine Austin Fitz and Joseph Farrell, that there's a whole huge secret black military budget for space travel, and that those people who may be really screwing this up and, you know, for us here, have plans to eject themselves into the atmosphere?
Well, first I want to say, I don't know if the whole audience there is aware of everybody who's asking me questions, but you're a very bright group, and I don't say that lightly. Thank you for the articulateness. In regard to what the power structure has planned, they probably have a lot of things planned, but I would argue that they will not be able to bring that into fruition. In regard to space travel right now, given the Van Allen radiation belts and the type of lead shielding that's needed to pass a life form through those belts, I would question that the notion that they have some sort of established way out. I have not seen the data to support that. I think they're trying to find such a way out. I think the CERN particle collider might be an aspect of that as well. The notion that they have some sort of way out of this, I would absolutely question. And I think they're as desperate as they can be right now. And as they become more desperate, they become much, much more dangerous. I would argue the power structure right now is more dangerous than ever. We have virtually everything being propped up economically. We have global shipping at an all-time low. The Baltic Dry Index, if anybody doesn't know what that is, you should Google that. It's all dry shipping from anywhere to anywhere. It's virtually at a standstill. The only thing keeping the facade of the markets up is money printing. They are doing everything they can to create the semblance of normalcy, to feed the normalcy bias, to keep the population asleep at the wheel. until all hell breaks loose. And I would argue we're very close to that point. So I know we're running out of time, and I want to state that it's imperative that everyone can help to turn the course of the Titanic, on which we are all passengers. But you must do this credibly. And this can only be done by doing some research, by passing on credible data, and not by, again, as I've stated many times, you can't just go out and point at the sky and start ranting. You have to pass on credible data to others. We need everybody to help start spot fires of awareness that are starting to merge together, starting to form big blazes in places that can't be put out. We need everyone in this battle. This is the hole in the bottom of the boat, climate engineering. If we can't detoxify the air we're all breathing, every single breath we take, we're not going to be firing on enough neurons much longer to meet any challenge, nothing. The environment will be virtually exterminated. And we've seen, to put this into context, in Northern California, in the last 10 years, we've seen a 90% decline of terrestrial aquatic insects as measured by government biologists that I know. 90% decline. If the bugs can't make it and the trees can't make it, we're definitely not going to make it. So
Dave,
climate engineering...
Give a few more minutes. Do you have another maybe 10 minutes or so?
I'll hang. You have a great group there. I'm good.
Okay, I'm just saying, do you have a little extra time? Because we have some
yes.
more people with questions, and
yes.
I would like to
yes.
honor that.
I'm grateful to them. Yes, that's
first one. To Yvette. Here we go.
Hi, Dane. I just want to ask a question. Okay, I just want to ask a question. And my question is, do you believe that these people that are over this thing, do you believe they are human? Because now if they're doing this, I don't believe they're doing anything that's going to really disrupt themselves, but it's all us that are human. Do you believe that is a possibility that they are not of this planet?
I believe that everything we see happening can be attributed to humans behaving poorly. That being said, I'm a lay student of cosmology, have been for a very long time. I believe mathematically that given the amount of exoplanets that we now believe to be in our galaxy alone, some 500 million, I can't imagine that we're alone. I can't imagine that that's mathematically possible that we would be alone. But that being said, again, based on the histories we have, very well documented histories of the unfolding of these programs and those behind these programs, I see nothing that we cannot attribute to humans behaving poorly, of which we have an incredibly extensive history, human history, of this sort of behavior. It's just simply on a much, much larger scale now and been completely, completely unchecked. Why? Because the modern industrialized society has provided such comfort for so many populations that they don't give a damn about what's happening in the government or anywhere else. They just simply want to golf and watch reality shows. And that has allowed this power to go completely unchecked for such a long time, as Eisenhower warned us, that now we are simply facing a juggernaut of total insanity. So although I believe that we mathematically, it's unlikely we'd be alone in the universe, I can see nothing that we can't attribute to human behavior based on the solid history that we have.
All right, I'm passing you to our Professor Fred. Here we go.
Hi, this one's going to make me unpopular a bit. Question is, why do you think the Republican Party is supporting this, what's going on, by completely denying climate change?
That's a fair question. I don't think that should make you unpopular at all. There are many different conflicting motives. And as far as supporting geoengineering, the Democrats are supporting it every bit as much. I've been in Barbara Boxer's office. I've had private meetings with Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom at the Capitol in Sacramento with his top aide. They absolutely know this is going on. They're as cowardly as the rest. As far as the denial of climate warming, that is one way they are helping to sell climate engineering. And that's exactly what that does. For those, whatever party they're in, and we have, unfortunately, even in the anti-climate engineering movement, the anti-geoengineering movement, we have a huge percentage of people that are doing exactly the same thing, who are claiming the planet is not warming. And when they claim that, they are saying exactly what the power structure wants them to say, because then the power structure can go to other countries and say, look, we've convinced our population that the planet's not warming, so geoengineering is working. It's working to hide reality. And so, in the particular scenario you mentioned, we're talking about people that are typically involved with fossil fuel industries and so forth, who are certainly all for geoengineering because they feel that can keep business as usual going longer. So they stick to this certain mantra that's as ridiculous as it could possibly be. We've just passed the 359th consecutive month, 359 months in a row, almost 39 years in a row of above normal global temperatures. And this is very important, we are seeing an underreporting of high temperatures by as much as 5 degrees. I have a colleague with the Union of Concerned Scientists that's measured a 4.6 degree underreporting. What does that mean? It means it's a hell of a lot hotter than we're being told already, way hotter. We are so far into the curve, and only the engineered snowstorms, and these snowstorms are completely engineered, completely. We've measured and tested the snow. We know the nucleating components are in the snow. We know they're chemically engineering. Anybody who doubts this should Google the term engineered snowstorms. You'll find a mountain of data we've posted even at geoengineeringwatch.org showing lab tests, two-minute videos of chemical and biological ice nucleating agents. We show the lab test in the articles. It can freeze a vessel of water instantaneously before your eyes. That's how powerful these components are. We know they're being used. That's why you're seeing massive temperature fluctuations, as we saw, for example, in Amarillo, Texas, May 1st, 2013. It was 100 degrees in the ground, all-time record high. It snowed the next day. That's not possible without weather engineering. So anyway, on the Republicans, back to your question, they're all corrupt on both sides of the fence. But in the particular case of these Republican people, they are most supported by the fossil fuel industry, if you will. So they are particularly tenacious about trying to toe a line that the power structure wants them to toe. But the Democrats are no less forthright in many other ways. And I know that firsthand because I've been with them, met with them.
So there's this major conspiracy going on by the media and the people in power, which are not the government, the people behind them.
Correct.
And they're just experimenting on people and trying to, I mean, there's not going to be anybody left to control. It's, well, anyway, I'm passing you to Pat. This is the next question.
Hi, Dave.
Hi,
Dane. I'd like to tell you that we're really proud of you for sticking your neck out like this. And, what we'd like to know is, what can we do about this? What's the best way to approach it? Should we write letters to our newspapers? Should we call them up? Or what do you recommend?
First of all, I want to say to everybody in the room that the honor is mine. The honor is mine to march with each and every one of you in this battle, and I don't say that lightly. I am extremely grateful that all of you took the time to show up and try to learn what's happening. As far as what you can do, the most effective thing we can do right now is to start spot fires of awareness. If anybody in the room goes to geoengineeringwatch.org, look in the upper left of the homepage, and you'll see a couple links there, activist suggestions and another link called flaming arrow. The premise for the flaming arrow metaphor is to start a spot fire of awareness by shooting a flaming arrow of credible data. There's a package there. It's fully prepared so that anyone from their own home computer can locate groups, organizations, and individuals in your area that would care if they had a clue, a credible clue. And you can send that email to them and say, look, this is happening. Government's not disclosing it. Media is not disclosing it. We have to bring this to light. And send them that data package. There's presentations in there. There's a number of links. It's all prepared, intro letter. Help us to start spot fires of awareness. Keep flyers with you, credible flyers. If you pass something on to someone, it carries 10 times the weight of trying to just verbally communicate something with them out of the blue. That people don't respond well to that. So the flyers on Geoengineering Watch can be downloaded for free, printed locally. Arm yourself with credible data. Educate yourself at least a bit. Stand on credible data. And in regard to the state of the climate, this is important that we connect with the environmentalist community, because right now they're the most in denial of all. They're harder to reach than any group, and I am an environmentalist in the true sense of the word. I have given so much of my life to trying to sustain the environment, and that's why I'm in this battle. But if we have the house burning down, saving a fish or a frog somewhere doesn't really matter anymore, does it? We have to save the whole house. So by knowing what's happening with the climate, and this is important, that the climate is warming rapidly, and climate engineering is making it worse, not better. That's a very simple concept to understand. And in holding on to that credible data or that credible conclusion, we can help to coax the climate science community out of their shadows, coax the environmentalists out of their shadows, who right now are more concerned about their 501c3 nonprofits than they are doing the right thing. Same with a lot of the church groups. They are more concerned about their nonprofit status. So the church groups need to be awakened also. The congregations need to be awakened. We are in a fight for life right now, and I mean a very, very, very immediate fight for life. Autism statistics, if I can put this into context right now, statistics from MIT on the current trajectory. In 10 years, one out of two children will have autism. One out of two. Now, we don't have 10 years, environmentally speaking. We're looking at an environment that's imploding by the day, and I personally would be surprised if we reach the end of this year without the power structure paying some very big cards, starting with Jade Helm, the military exercises. The moment in time they can't hide the severity of what's happening from the population, they will try to clamp down. And I would argue that's probably very close.
Yeah, there's a lot of medical issues that are popping up that were not around when I was a kid. But I want to thank you very, very much for being part of our group meeting this evening and informing us, answering our questions. And just one more time, the information on your website, I'm actually on that now. So you were saying go to documents, and then where is the one that we could print out, and what is the name of it again?
No, don't go to documents. Don't go to documents. Just write on the home page. If you're right on the home page, go to the upper left, and you'll see activist suggestions. It's a clickable link, and you'll see flaming arrow. It's an image of a man shooting a flaming arrow.
Oh, that's what you were saying. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your time and your knowledge and your direction, and we very much appreciate you. And
gratitude is mine. Thanks to everybody in the room. My gratitude.
Thanks so much, Dan. It's been great talking to you.
You too, Lori. Have a great night.
All right.
Take care.